Take your Bibles, if you will, with me, please, and your notes, if you have those. And I didn't bring any extras tonight, but we're going to finish it up rather quickly, I hope, but not so quickly that we don't glean some principles from it. But we are just finished last time before we went on vacation, and you have the drawing there. Well, that may be stretching it, calling it a drawing. But you have the embattlement as we're studying the defensiveness and being defensive of our lives as we take on the whole armor of God. And the armor is for defensive measures, or it can be used as an offensive as we're moving forward in a spiritual warfare. And so we've finished in chapter 6 with that. And then you'll notice under that where you see the besiegement. Let me just point out one thing about that. Let me go to it. In verse number 18, this will be the last verse in this section. And it talks about principalities and the powers, and you have the fiery darts of the wicked one. You have all of these coming at you. And then you'll notice what is supposed to look like two warriors there, but you'll notice that they're back to back, okay? Because there's no armor for the backside, so to speak, of the biblical warrior, all right? We have the shield of faith on the front side. The helmet of salvation obviously would be around. The sword of the Spirit is for advancing, so to speak, or for defending, but it's in front of the warrior. And so you'll notice that there's nothing on the back. But in verse number 18, if you'll look at that real quickly, notice what Paul says. Praying always with all prayer, those are our regular prayers, as we pray for God's hand to be upon the service. By the way, the door-to-door soul winning on Wednesday night, if you haven't signed up for it, I have the list up here, but I'll make sure that it's in the rear of the auditorium in the foyer as we leave tonight. If you're planning on being with us for the meal and then going out door-to-door, then if you'll sign up for that, please. And then also, I've mentioned as we started door-to-door soul winning about, 2 months ago now, and I mentioned that we're going to move to Saturdays as well. Not move, but we're going to have Saturday door-to-door. But what we're going to do is institute that in about 3 weeks. As you know, the Mountain State Fair has been going on all this past week and a little bit prior to that, as the Jacksons were with us this morning and the young lady who was with them. And so as they lead, and there's been many that have come to Christ, they have prayed the prayer of salvation and given that testimony that they needed to be saved, repented of their sins. And so following that, they fill out a form, their name, their address, their phone number, email, and that kind of thing. Then on the flip side of that, they have them to write, what decision did you make today? And I see she's with us tonight. Good to have you with us. And I apologize for not remembering your name. But the point is that on the flip side of that, they write in, I trusted Christ as my Savior. He forgave all my sins. Whatever it is, when they trusted Christ, that they write that testimony. So what happens then, as the week comes to an end, they find fundamental churches in the area, like Temple Baptist. We had folks from Temple Baptist, I believe, that worked this week. Is that right? They did. Okay. So I see Ms. Jackson there as well. Sorry about that. So they see those. And then at the end of the week, they take the fundamental churches like Temple and our church. And if it's in the Asheville area, they give those salvation decisions and other decisions to that church. If they're in the Hendersonville area, I don't know if we'll get all of them, but we'll get a number of them. Is that right, Ms. Jackson? And so what that means is in about 3 weeks, we're going to introduce Saturday visitation, soul winning, by means of those lists, of those visits. We're going to visit every single one of them, whether we find anyone home or not. By the way, we have brand new door hangers that Brother Moss designed, and they are really sharp. As well, and I should have brought some with me, some of the gospel tracts in my other pocket. But some of the gospel tracts that we had printed, and it's got a map of the church and all of that on the back of it, and just wonderfully done. But anyway, we will be visiting those. That's how we will start our Saturday morning soul winning and visitation, by going out to specific homes where they've already made a decision for Christ. It may be a young person, it may be an adult, But we'll have the joy of doing that. And then we will, after we finish with those, then we will go to strictly door-to-door as we have been doing on Wednesday nights here as well. So I hope you'll be doing it. But those are the regular prayers. Lord, help us to be a church with a vision for the people that you want to be saved. And we already know that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we need to have our vision. As the Bible says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white unto harvest. And so we want to do, those are our prayers, but supplications then are the supplications where there's a fervency of spirit about it. And saying, oh dear Lord, I prayed about this that I regularly pray, but Lord, this is fresh on my heart. Lord, this is a burden of my heart. And so notice what he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now notice the next phrase, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's why in this little scribbling that I call a drawing, put these soldiers back to back. So that as I'm watching for Brother Josh, and he's watching for my sister Shelley, and she's watching for Brother Larry, and he's watching for Brother Josh, and sister Michelle is watching for my wife, and so forth. As we're watching for each other, yes, taking care of our own spiritual battles, but because we're watching a brother or sister in the back and we watch, they're vulnerable. Maybe it's an attitude problem in which they're vulnerable. Maybe they get discouraged easily and they're vulnerable. So as we're watching and praying for them, then we can have a part in their spiritual well-being. Now, with that in mind, the last paragraph there, it says, and I'm not going to read the whole paragraph, a lot of it is from Matthew chapter 24, but it is absolutely essential that the Christian prepare himself for this battle before the conflict begins. Unfortunately, many of our brethren have grown accustomed to minor encounters with the wicked one and have not really regretted the experience. Yeah, they've okay. It was a skirmish, okay, and they weren't prepared, but they didn't get mortally wounded either, so it's not really that big a deal, okay? Because they have not been as of yet mortally wounded, they have inadvertently developed the philosophy that danger is far away. And then it talks about the Matthew passage and the coming of the Lord. So the point is this, that we need to be prepared for battle, and we don't have to walk around thinking there's a demon under every bush. But the Bible says, Romans 7:21, I see then that there is a law that when I would do good, what is present with me? That's right, very good. Evil is present with me. So if we're determined as a body of believers that we want to be used of God some way every day, we want to build the foundation of this ministry with the help of God upon biblical principle, not on preference, but on biblical principle, and then we can glean our preferences from those biblical principles. Amen or no? And so that's what we want, and that's what we're intent upon. But we also know that the underworld, Satan and his emissaries, are going to be there to try to thwart that, even as Sanballat and Tobiah were after Nehemiah and the building of the work of the wall and the city of Jerusalem. So that's what we want to do. Now, let's go very quickly to the next page in your notes. How many of you have the notes? Okay, most of you do. Good. And apologize for not bringing the others with me. I just wanted to do this quickly. So what I'm going to do, the next page, I'm not going to really go over it. And there's some blanks that are already filled in for you. But if you look down to Numbers 1, 2, and 3, and it talks about the five sections of the armor of God. You see there above that, what is commanded, we talked about that. Who the enemies are, as identified in the word. The enemy's strategy, what they're going to try to do to keep us from being what God wants us to be. The warrior's equipment, we talked about the helmet and the sword and the shield and so forth. The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then the warrior's strategy, that's what we've already done. Utilizing the following method of training and maintenance will assist the Christian warrior as he prepares himself for the service of the Lord. So those three things, and again, I'm not going to go over it, other than just look at the main subjects. Number one is dedication to the cause. If I know my people's hearts, the ones who are with us tonight, and some who couldn't be with us tonight. But if I know the hearts of these who are in front of me, and if I know my own heart, we have an absolute passion to be what God wants us to be. Are you in agreement with that? Absolutely. Without compromise. And we can have life and have it more abundantly, not trouble-free, not having to take a stand, but we can have life and more abundantly if we walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. So that being the case, we need to be dedicated to the cause. And I believe the ones in front of me tonight are those among those that say, saddle me up, I'm ready to go. Or as they would say, gear up if you're in the Air Force. If you're flying an airplane, it was time to, don't let those gears stay down, because when you take an airplane off and it has retractable gear, you leave those gear down and it's a drag. The wind blows against it and it's a drag. So gear up means as soon as you get off the ground, get that gear up so that you can get maximum speed to get up to altitude and get to the right destination at the right time. Dedication to the cause. Number two is designation of time. Time for acquiring expertise, new equipment, new strengths. Time for regaining strength. And that has the idea of coming aside a little bit and just relaxing. I'm looking for a camp where we can have couples retreats and a teenage camp and a church-wide camp, a family camp. And I was told one today, I think it was Miss Tunstall that brought to my attention, Living Water, I think in... It just came back to me. Bryson City. All right. Thank you, sister. And so we're going to look in. Becky and I have already looked at several camps, and they're not going to work out for whatever reason. But that's the point, is sometimes we as a church family just need to get aside a little bit and just get together and say, all right, what are we doing here? And I've already mentioned it, that before long, in the next several weeks, we're going to go through a process of a church family rededicating this entire ministry to the Lord. We're going to do it corporately as a ministry. We're going to do it by way of leadership, and then we're going to do it by way of people in the church. And we'll let you know more about that as our brother here is going to lead us in that, and I'm participating with it as well. And he and his wife and I have spent hours together going over the details of it. We want to have a clean slate and move forward for the will of God. Amen. So we'll be doing that. And that's what this is all about. Now we come to verses 19 through 20. And it says, as for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Look at number one, if you will, please. He says, as for me, is a continuation of Paul's request for prayer. Now think about it. This is the Apostle Paul. This isn't Randy Bray. This isn't Snortsky Flugelhorn. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, as for me, is a continuation, or I wrote, as for me, is a continuation of Paul's request for prayer from his Ephesian brethren. He had just finished admonishing to pray in the Spirit for all saints. Now he comes to a personal burden and request. Number two, what was his request? That I may open my mouth boldly. Why? To make known the gospel, because Paul was an ambassador and therefore had a commission to fulfill. Now, I am going to take time to read the next paragraph, not because I wrote it, but because I think it's important. Notice what's written there. Though Paul was a veteran preacher of righteousness, he evidently only remained bold with the assurance of the prayers of his brethren. Twice in this sentence, he requests prayer for boldness. He must have felt its absence. What an encouragement this should be, A, for those whose boldness appears to be temporary instead of permanent. For many, it seems as though their holy boldness comes for a particular event or encounter. When the occasion arises, to God be the glory, the boldness is there, and they are able to take the stand God wants them to take, is what is being implied there, or stated there. However, when the next difficult situation arises, their strength and boldness seems distant and must be attained once again through prayer. This should serve as an encouragement of his strength, God's strength, and as a reminder of our inadequacy without Him. I have a friend, his name's Tim Lee. And we've not spoken in years and years and years and years. He's kind of gone in a different direction. But I got to be friends with him many, many years ago. He and our pastor, when I was a youth pastor, were best friends, Brother Collier and Tim. And we both lived in Texas. Tim lived in the Dallas area. Some of you may have heard him. He's on Falwell a good number of times. He was a Marine, and won't go through all the story, but a running from God. He knew that God had called him to preach. And the last week he was going to be in Vietnam, his crew, his troop, their assignment was for finding mines, hidden mines and landmines. And Corporal Gore, who worked for him, said, Tim, let me take the lead. You're about to go home. Let me take the lead. And I'm taking too much time on this. And so long story short, Tim said, no, I'm still in charge. It's my responsibility. I'm going to do it. And so Tim stepped on a landmine, blew off both of his legs. And so he just has stumps. One's a little longer than the other. And he got right with the Lord. Corporal Gore, actually, if I remember correctly, this may not be right, I think he actually caught him when Tim was blown into the air. And after a lot of surgeries and everything else, but Tim Lee, I think he still preaches, is a Marine through and through. Tim Lee's the kind of guy that wakes up in the morning. I mean, it's not exaggeration. Well, it is in a way. He probably wakes up in the morning saying, where's a bullet I can catch with my teeth? I mean, he's that kind of a guy. And I have never in all these years heard anybody that can preach a message for revival on America like Tim Lee. Great guy. Can't have him here just because of the direction he's gone, but I love him. I've been to his home. We've eaten with him. We've just had a great time together. Had camps and so forth. He spoke at a large youth rally I had, and just a great, great guy. Still hunts, or he did at the time, even without legs. He would go to Alaska. They would take a trailer with mules in the back of the truck. They would take the truck as far as it would go. When it couldn't go any further, they'd get the mules out and then go forward. When they couldn't go any further with the mules, they'd get off and hike. And there's a guy without legs. They would cross streams. They would do everything else. But the point of that, and I'll remember why I got into that, Tim Lee. Oh, that's what it is, all right? So there are some Christians who they just are kind of that way. That's the way Tim is. And I could tell you some stories about that as well with Brother Lee. But the point I'm trying to make is that not everyone's made like that. They kind of have to be like Gideon. Where, O thou man of valor. Well, he wasn't really a man of valor until he got the encouragement from the Lord and from other sources and said, all right, let's go do what God wants us to do. And that's the point here. Is that here, even the Apostle Paul said, pray for me regarding boldness. There may be some listening to me tonight here and by way of live stream. And you don't wake up in the morning saying, all right, I got my sword in and I'm ready to go. And got the short sword, got the long sword, ready to unsheath it wherever there's a battle for the Lord. Okay? Most of us are not just made that way. Most of us want to have the peaceable fruit of righteousness about us and would rather sidestep. And yet, if a cause is worth fighting, then we're willing to get into it. But we're going to have to pray for boldness. I think many Christians are made in that fashion. Now, my commentary here about Paul may not be right. Maybe he didn't have to pray so much for boldness on a regular basis. But nonetheless, twice in this one verse, he said, pray for me for boldness. Some of you at work may need to pray for boldness, to not just kind of giggle at an off-color joke so that you don't stand out. Maybe it's in with your family members. Maybe it's with your own children. You have to say with boldness, you know what? The Joneses may do that. The Brays may do that. But no, this family's not going to do that. Okay? So boldness. All right. Enough of that. If you'll look, please, at verses 21 through 24 very quickly. The conclusion and then the notes, and we'll not take time to read it, but if you'll look at the notes, okay? The conclusion of Paul's inspired letter to the Christians at Ephesus formally introduces Tychicus. Now notice what it says, four things, And well, let's just read it from verse 21. But you know also my affairs, also may know my affairs, and how I do. Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, shall make known to you all things whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, that ye might comfort your hearts. So the four things in the notes, it calls him a beloved brother, a faithful minister to the Lord. He might make known to them Paul's affairs in Rome, and letter D, he might comfort their hearts. How thoughtful Paul was. Though in prison and facing certain death, he sent this beloved brother to meet the needs of others, those in Ephesus, disregarding his own. The heart of the gospel is good news. Many times, though, that good news comes at the expense of another. May we ever be grateful to the one, the Lord, who paid the price for our salvation, and to those who have sacrificed to proclaim that good news. Paul finishes this epistle as he began, trusting for the same gifts of peace and grace to be granted to his brethren in Ephesus. This time, though, he adds one more: love with faith. Certainly peace, grace, and love in the Lord would be wonderful companions as they journeyed in faith with God. The book of Ephesians, God laid on my heart when God called me here in December. The book of Ephesians was the first book that I believe God wanted us to look at verse by verse as we walk through it, because in it is embedded foundational principles for any and every New Testament church. And so I trust it's been a blessing to you and a help, perhaps convicting as it has been to me, challenging as it has been to me, comforting as it has been to me. What a glorious book it is, and we praise God for it. All right? Praise the Lord for that.